Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris.
All right, here is our assignment from yesterday. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, the voices push me to stop practicing by pointing out that practice is likely not to be helpful in this situation, while simultaneously encouraging me to try harder. If I quit, I will be made to feel bad for giving up. If I try harder and go unconscious anyway and get identified, I'll be made to feel bad for being a failure at practice. The assignment was, what are the two choices the voices offer you, RL? All right.
Well, we can see why they're devil's choices, right?
What's that, Ashwini? Why they're...
You never win.
Oh, yeah. The way that that example was laid out, it's like, that actually is an impossible situation.
Yeah,
for sure. I can relate. All right. Let's see. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Susan in Ventura.
Hey, Susan. What are you seeing? Did we lose Susan, Chris?
It looks like she's still there, but I'm certainly not hearing her. So, Susan, we got a hello out of you, but not much more. Oh, now she has vanished. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. I'll keep an eye out for Susan then, too. All right, first caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. Yeah, so thankful to be here, and what I see, you know, with all these is how much there's sort of this parent-child connotation or reflection from the voices. And it's this way that what I want to do or what I love to do gets put into opposition with something I should do or gets labeled as something that I should do. So ultimately what I end up with is being in a situation where I don't do what I want to do or I love to do just sort of out of spite. So you're telling me I have to do it. Well, I'll show you I'm just not going to do it. And then, I've seen this for a long time, but it just goes on like that where it just feels, because it's so familiar, it feels right to say no. I'm not going to do that just because you're telling me to do it. So it is two bad choices because you can't have what you really want.
Yes. Well, several things about what you're saying, Greta, is I love the way you characterized it, where it's such a very childish kind of orientation against rebelling against an authority, it feels like, right? So here, I really want to do this, but and I would have done it if you had no opinion about it. But because you're telling me to do it, I'm really not going to do it. And it's so much more an assertion of me, which is what we do when we're young, right? There's that rebelliousness of I'm able to make my own decisions without the awareness that in taking that opposition position, as you pointed out, the person who loses out is the one that actually wants to do it. And that's on another level, such a beautiful illustration of how the conditioning is all about maintaining the ego and suffering. I mean, you just illustrated that so clearly the input is what I love to do. The output is I don't get what to do what I love to do. I'm suffering, and the ego is maintained.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's completely believable. Oh, it's
yes.
Like, well, yeah. I totally, and it's that I don't want to, I don't feel like it, you know, it's just
yeah.
That, like you're saying, the ego is maintained, we just automatically dial up that persona in any situation, it's all internal, of course it was, no, I don't want to clean my room or whatever way back in the day,
but
now it's all, and it gets couched, so the same process gets couched in a little bit different, more grown-up fashion in, well, I want to do these things, but I have to do my responsible, do my chores, or do whatever first. And
yeah.
You know,
it moves to a victim place, right, rather than a little child place with the same process. And it's something that I think the word someone used for it is false pride. Right?
That's cut off your nose to spite your face.
Spite your face. But there's a way in which the only way I can assert that I am a person who's adequate, within quotes, is to thwart what you're telling me to do. And in the and we never see it. As you said, it's totally believable in the interaction. And so the sort of antidote to false pride is humility. It's like, oh, okay. Well, this is what I want to do. There's vulnerability in that stance, right? And that, that as we were talking about Brumita yesterday, being so clear about how it works is our best opportunity to get flagged, even if it's believable. At least that's the first step. How do I train myself to know that I'm in this process when I'm in it, to have at least a ray of awareness that allows me to have a different choice.
Right, right. Because we can just watch from awareness and realize that these things that I say are important to me that I want to do somehow just aren't happening. So why is that? What's going on? What's this process? And so the training, and it's just that constant reminder that we're training to come back and see what's so without that pull to identification. And
that's exactly
really,
right.
Yep.
And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and then when we do what we say we want to do, we have to also work really hard to stay present too, because conditioning will put us in the place of, see, you didn't want to do that. You didn't do what I told you to do.
And you're not enjoying yourself. It wasn't the way, it didn't end up being the way it was. And now you've squandered all this time and you didn't get your chores done.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's like you said, it's fiendish. It puts you in a victim place, and our best opportunity is to just come back here and practice with it, and then it can be joyful, and then it can be exciting, and we're Sherlock Holmes following down the track and seeing what's really going on.
Exactly. Well, two bad choices. And so subtly put that we don't see that there are two choices, right? Because what you're saying is, it says, oh, well, you know, I know you want to do all this stuff, but you really should probably get your chores done first. That's the right, responsible thing to do.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But look, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Another day has gone by.
Yeah.
So, but we did come today to practice, and that's the best choice, I think. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Greta.
Thank you, Greta. And Ashwini, there was one place in there that stood out for me. Well, many places that stood out for me. But one in particular was when you were mentioning the ray of awareness that really allows us to have that different choice, and how if we're looking to expand awareness, it has to start somewhere. And it seems that that ray of awareness is where that begins, and then how easily that very beginning part of that like you say, that ray seems like a great description, how easily dismissed that is by conditioning, because it just doesn't seem to solve any of the current problems that it's presenting to me.
Yeah. It's all about doing. If I could stay in the being, then that awareness assists.
Exactly. Yeah, if I can stay in being, and then that is the place where that awareness starts to expand.
Yeah.
And then we can develop that place of trust that it actually does solve the problems, or actually, that's probably not even accurate, right? That it just gets.
Well, that it offers the possibility of the next, of a choice that's not within the system.
Exactly. Yep.
The choice is always exit the system.
All right. All right, next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hi, Ellie.
Hey.
What bad choices are the voices offering you this morning?
Well, I was just reflecting, because you talked about the choice is always to exit the system. And I just, like, totally saw the process of, like, looking at conditioned mind, because there was this, wait, but how do you do that?
Yes.
And then there was...
Brilliant, good catch.
And then there was a, because I'm here on the call and just being present, right before I went, you know, you may now ask your question. The mentor was just like, you just drop into the present and do what's here.
Mm-hmm. And that is it, right, Ellie? That your relationship with the mentor has trained awareness to look to awareness when the default would have been to look to conditioned mind. So when I'm present, I hear the voice that says, how can you do that? And I also hear the mentor's voice to say, don't go there.
Yes.
That's the training, right? That's exactly the training. I mean, we do those thousands of process maps in order to know, in order to assist us to recognize the voices of conditioned mind. And we listen to those recordings from the mentor to know the voice of the mentor, so that in any situation, that ability that you just talked about, to hear the voice, to recognize the voice, to not go with the voice because the mentor is right there. Wow, that is just such an exquisite moment of success.
Yeah, it was wonderful timing on the part of the universe and the mentor.
Yes. And it is the fruits of a practice.
Yes. And it's the two bad choices for me always is presented as two good choices. And I don't know, like, my primary expression is Enya type 7. So all the things.
Oh, yes. All the options available on the table. Each one just as good as the other.
Exactly.
Resulting in a moment of paralysis.
Yes.
How do
yes.
I choose?
Yeah, no, and so it's this year I've been seeing that come up again and again and again and again. And practicing, there's just a greater willingness to continue to just to be present. And it's been super hard because I've engaged in something that conflicts with this time that I absolutely love and is totally feeding me and keeps me from being able to be on the call more often than not, because I'm literally in class. And that gets so taken over by conditioning. It just, and so I've been watching that process of, you know, choosing presence, being talked out of presence, and back and forth and back and forth.
Yes. Well, may I say something there, Ellie? I'm sure you've looked at it this way, but it's a very interesting observation that all the options are presented as ones that you equally, as equally good, I think you said. But the point is that the choices are being presented to you in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're not aware of is the choice that's here in front of me to be present to.
Mm-hmm.
The only choice I have in any moment is being here for what's here in front of me. I don't see that choice when I'm listening to a conversation that says you could also do this and you could also do that and you'd love to do that and you'd love to do that. So if it's a duality, we're trained to recognize it, recognize the duality as the two bad choices, not the choices I have, but that I'm in conditioned mind and therefore I need to get present. For you, it sounds like it's not just two bad choices, it's 17 good ones. And that is your clue to go, well, what's available for me now, right? Which is the interesting part about, okay, so you signed up for something you love that overlaps with something you love. But you're not able to be on the radio show. That choice has already been eliminated from where you are in the moment. So your only choice is to be present to what you're doing that you love and not indulge a conversation that says there is a reality in which you are not doing that other thing.
Oh my gosh, that's so helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
And so then, because you do love it, we look for how to make that possible. So every chance you get on the radio show. After the class is over, perhaps you'll be able to get back live and join us. You probably will commit to doing the assignment and listening to the radio show afterwards, because it may not be as good, according to the voices, as being right there present with everybody while we're all talking, but that doesn't mean you miss out on participating in something you love. It's just got a different form. It's always an and in life, and always an or and a yeah, but in conditioned mind.
Yes. Wow. That I'm definitely going to listen back to this, and that just feels like you talk about that pathway that there's an exit where there wasn't an exit before. And I feel like I just got to see where there's an exit out of that situation where I have so many great choices, and I don't even realize that I'm in a conversation with conditioned mind.
That's right. We always, that's why in this year-long retreat, there's such a section on what are the voices saying, right? Mm-hmm. Just so that you can train awareness to recognize you're in a conversation. Because if you can't recognize it, then you're toast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's very fun, Ellie, right?
It is. I'm having a wonderful time. Super grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ellie.
Yesho.
Yesho.
Thank you, Ellie. And super fun indeed.
Yes.
I was looking at appreciating the way that you were describing that, Ashwini, as in conditioned mind. If those choices are being presented in conditioned mind, it's always two bad choices. And from center, then there's no bad choices. So one of the dualities that drops out when we move to center is good and bad. And so with that, then there's infinite possibility with any choice that we make.
That's exactly right. It's all available. And the good news about that, right, Chris, is in the moment, there is the choice that's in front of me. So I don't have to get overwhelmed, you know?
Meaning that kind of whatever is the content, then I can move forward with it. Move to center and then...
Yeah.
In that way. Got it. Yeah. Yeah, because then if we do get overwhelmed, then that's the sign that we're probably heading for the next duality, right?
Yeah, the next conversation about there's too many choices.
There's too many choices. Right. Perfect. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura in San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hey. This has been really helpful. So I've been looking at the process of shame and how it shows up specifically, well, in practice and, you know, obviously everywhere. And the days that I was looking at the voices, how they talk and then attempting to separate them out and give them identity, you know, I got really, I couldn't get disidentified. And so once we got to the dualities, I was able to work backwards and kind of tease them apart a little bit. And, you know, listening to the calls and listening to people talk has been really helpful because, you know, it feels like I get a little space, a little bit more space, a little bit more space. And the piece that's been the most helpful is like this is karma, this isn't me, and yet it feels so like it's like intellectually I can get drop the story, don't listen to it, and I can't seem to shake the body sensations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in that real experience of or that where I can feel like how the body sensations make the lies believable,
mm-hmm.
or they mm-hmm. you know, they talk, you know, I can't seem to just get that distance from it. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of.
May I ask
right
you
now.
This, Laura? How did you know you were disidentified while you were working on the, the couple of days where you had to jot the voices down?
How did I know I wasn't disidentified?
Yeah, how do you know that you were identified?
Great question. I was, you know, it's often when I talk in practice and tears come up, it's so funny because I can't really seem to feel, it's that overwhelm, like the just flooding of the, like I feel identified with the shame and so like, And I was in this conversation, like the two bad choices are either, like, you know, I'm a piece of crap, or work really hard to show a better picture so that no one can see, and I don't have to. It's like burying mail and bills you don't want to pay. It's just like, you know, hide them under something so we can just pretend they're not there, but have them in a nice little pile so it looks neat and clean.
And so there is awareness there.
Yes. Yes.
Right? There is awareness because you're not, you are you watching the shame or are you feeling ashamed?
Ooh, good. So that's a place that I felt like there was this period of time where, so I do, sometimes when I have full days, I do the assignments at night, and I was jotting down the voice, like I was trying to separate them out, and I literally just closed the book, put it away, and like went to sleep because I just couldn't, I felt like I was so identified, like I couldn't write them down. And then I had all sorts of lovely dreams. Like, so, and so I had the awareness to listen to a recording of love, and I didn't do it. And I watched how I didn't choose to support the human.
And
instead,
then of course
like,
you got
again,
to kind of self-hate afterwards.
Yes. And so I am grateful because I feel like I am watching it and I'm like teasing some of these little knots apart. And it still feels really close. Like I still feel like I'm.
Yeah. Well, it's a very interesting place, fascinating place, right, Laura? Because the first thing I would just be with is you're not required not to have those body sensations.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
I mean, you're not. that's what happens. I mean, we live in our bodies. Now, what has gotten put in place is that the body sensations are affiliated to a label of shame. And what you're attempting to do, which conditioning is attempting to thwart, is to look at what are the thoughts, right, that have got coded into the feelings associated to that experience. Because as soon as I just am in it, I feel all of it, all of the implied whatever it is, but I don't know what it really is. So it's true, the karma is working perfectly in that you're not allowed to look.
Yeah. That's exactly how it feels, yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed to look, and therefore you're not allowed to be free. It's like if I fall into the pit, then I can't get out, so I'm going to avoid everything I can do to fall into the pit. And as a consequence of it, I can't actually see what it is that's entrapping me into that process. And I don't know this, Laura, so this is something you might just want to try, which is to when those tears come up, right? Because there's an automatic association to you're being shamed in that moment, and there's a poor human being who's just being crushed by whatever she's being told. Is it possible for you to pick up the recorder and just talk about what you're feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Because for her, she's completely abandoned in that place. That person who's there is not capable of looking at what's going on for her. She's just being completely overwhelmed by the voices. And what probably she needs is just someone there that goes, it's all right. You don't have to look. I'm here.
Wow.
I'm here with you.
Wow.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to listen to those voices. I'm right here with you. And allow her to be enveloped in the love that will shield her from the torture.
Mm. Wow, yeah.
And so you're not required to have a different experience at all. Redirect the attention, drop the story. She just needs to be, we need to go into the experience.
Yeah.
With love.
Yep.
Not as an analysis of what's going on for her, but just simply, okay,
no.
This is how we deal with this situation. We bring love into it and keep doing that until she feels comforted and encouraged and maybe down the road safe enough to tell you what the voices are telling her. But she's in no state to do that.
Yeah. I can see the direction. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And the last point when you get to that place
please.
Of I can't do it, right? It's what it's the Cheryl Marshmallow and Sherry Huber story.
Yeah.
Where I think you know it, right? The innocence. If it's being tortured by anything, somebody comes out and shoots with a gun. And if awareness can be there, great. If awareness cannot be there, everybody gets a pass. So no self-hate after you close the book and go to bed.
Yeah. It's so, like, in this moment, I can feel the distance because I can feel the compassion for the person because when it comes, like, everything that she's ever done in her life that's been, you know, that she's been talked into gets replayed.
Yeah,
and so it's like I have to go unconscious to not have to deal with that. So,
yeah,
not to
know that.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, and it's really cool.
Yeah, so that was really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care,
I'll
Laura.
Check back in. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura. And Ashwini, in that conversation, I was looking at how. All of the meanings that get attached to the body sensations like shame. So if we have those body sensations, then there's all of the stories that come along with it. So every thought that I might have about the shame or the body sensations that are there, then that reinforces the body sensations. And then another thought or story comes in, and this little loop like that gets created, which is kind of self-sustaining and really puts a place in that person that you were talking about, just kind of overwhelmed and really incapable of being or looking in that place. And then what conditioning does is to require that person to kind of be logical and competent in that place where it's doing its best to kind of upset the balance.
Yes, and forcing people to go unconscious so that it will be protected and she will be forever ego's prisoner.
Yeah, precisely. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another show, Ashwini. And
wonderful.
Very, very wonderful. And here's our assignment for today. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind the issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the conditioned reaction to blame the human being for failing to achieve a standard of perfection in every domain perpetuates the karma of love being conditional on performance. RL, what you see. In other words, the plot thickens.
The plot thickens, exactly. Well, since it's Friday, we'll wish everybody a happy weekend and go happy. And thank you, Chris. And we'll talk again on Monday.
All right, great. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you. Everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.